spine-tingling, nerve-shattering podcast featuring all your favorite monsters. You won't believe your ears when you listen to Monster Kid Radio. Here are your hosts, Derek M. Cook, and his ever-rotating stable of guests discuss your favorite classics and sometimes not-so-classic monster movies. Subscribe to Monster Kid Radio through iTunes or Stitcher, or visit monsterkidradio.net before the next weekly episode of Monster Kid Radio. Go through the archives for interviews with Sarah Karloff, Victoria Price, and Joel Hodson. Listen to discussions about movies like Creature from the Black Lagoon, Island of Terror, and King Kong. And don't forget convention coverage from Monster Bash and the H.P. Lovecraft Film Festival, Classic Monsters, Modern Talk, and the Head of Rondo Hatton, only on Monster Kid Radio.
Greetings, listeners. We're back once again to talk to you about the Cthulhu mythos, its books, its monsters, its unfortunate human casualties, its timeline in general, and even its tangential bits, like the dreamlands, or things of a weird nature, or things that are Lovecraftian leaning. Weird fiction, science fiction, horror, learn of terrible meetings in lonely places, of cyclopean ruins, and vast staircases that lead down to abysses of nighted secrets, of complex angles that lead through invisible walls to other regions of space and time, and of hideous explorations in remote and forbidden places, on other worlds, and in different time-space continua. From the creation of our galaxy to the death of the sun, this is an exploration of the Cthulhu mythos from the perspective of humans' concept of history. We are the people's guide to the Cthulhu mythos. You can find us at pgttcm.com. pgttcm.podbean.com, and you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. The People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos starts now.
The People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos. Season 8.
Time and the Gods by Edward John Morton Drax Plunkett, Lord Dunsany. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information, or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. When the Gods Slept. All the gods were sitting in Pegana, and their slave Time lay idle at Pegana's gate with nothing to destroy. When they thought of worlds, worlds large and round and gleaming, and little silver moons. Then, who knoweth when, as the gods raised their hands, making the sign of the gods, the thoughts of the gods became worlds and silver moons, and the worlds swam by Pegana's gate to take their places in the sky, to ride at anchor forever, each where the gods had bidden, and because they were round and big and gleamed all over the sky, the gods laughed and shouted, and all clapped their hands. Then upon earth the gods played out the game of the gods, the game of life and death, and on the other worlds they did a secret thing, playing a game that's hidden. At last they mocked no more at life and laughed at death no more, and cried aloud in Pegana, "Will no new thing be? Must those four march forever round the world till our eyes are wearied with the treading of the feet of the seasons that will not cease, while night and day and life and death drearily rise and fall?" And as a child stares at the bare walls of a narrow hut, so the gods looked all listlessly upon the world, saying, "Will no new thing be?" And in their weariness the gods said, "Ah, to be young again! Ah, to be fresh once more from the brain of Mana Yud Sushai!" And they turned away their eyes in weariness from all the gleaming worlds and laid them down upon Pegana's floor. For they said, "It may be that the worlds shall pass, and we would fain forget them." Then the gods slept. Then did the comet break loose from his moorings, and the eclipse roamed about the sky, and down on the earth did death's three children, famine, pestilence, and drought, come out to feed. The eyes of famine were green, and the eyes of drought were red. But the pestilence was blind, and smote all round him with his claws among the cities. But as the gods slept, there came from beyond the rim, out of the dark and unknown, three Yozis, spirits of ill, that sailed up the river of silence in galleons with silver sails. Yah, Ha, and Snurg were these three Yozis, the lords of evil, madness, and of spite. When they crept from their galleons and stole over Pegana's silent threshold, it boded ill for the gods. There in Pegana lay the gods asleep, and in a corner lay the power of the gods alone upon the floor, a thing wrought of black rock, and four words graven upon it, whereof I might not give thee any clue, if even I should find it, four words of which none knoweth. Some say they tell of the opening of a flower towards dawn. Others say they concern earthquakes among hills, and others that they tell of the death of fishes, and others that the words be these: power, knowledge, forgetting, and another word that not the gods themselves may ever guess. These words the Yozis read, and sped away in dread lest the gods should wake, and going aboard their galleons, bade the rowers haste. Thus the Yozis became gods, having the power of gods, and they sailed away to the earth, and came to a mountainous island in the sea. There they sat upon the rocks, sitting as the gods sit, with their right hands uplifted, and having the power of gods. Only none came to worship. Thither came no ships nigh them, nor ever at evening came the prayers of men, nor smell of incense, nor screams from the sacrifice. Then said the Yozis, "Of what avails it that we be gods, if no one worship us, nor give us sacrifice?" And Yah, Ha, and Snyrg set sail in their silver galleons, and went looming down the sea to come to the shores of men. And first they came to an island where there were fisher folk, and the folk of the island, running down to the shore, cried out to them, "Who be ye?" And the Yozis answered, "We be three gods, and we would have your worship." But the fisher folk answered, "Here we worship Ram the Thunder, and have no worship nor sacrifice for other gods." Then the Yozis snarled with anger and sailed away, and sailed till they came to another shore, sandy and low and forsaken. And at last they found an old man upon the shore, and they cried out to him, "Old man upon the shore, we be three gods, that it were well to worship gods of great power, apt in the granting of prayer." The old man answered, "We worship Pegana's gods, who have a fondness for our incense and the sound of our sacrifice when it squeals upon the altar." Then answered Snurg, "Asleep are Pegana's gods, nor will they wake for the humming of thy prayers which lie in the dust upon Pegana's floor. And over them Snirakti, the spider of the worlds, hath woven a web of mist, and the squealing of the sacrifice maketh no music in ears that are closed in sleep." The old man answered, standing upon the shore, "Though all the gods of old shall answer our prayers no longer, yet still to the gods of old shall all men pray here in Cyrenaeus." But the Yozis turned their ships about and angrily sailed away, all cursing Cyrenaeus and Cyrenaeus's gods, but most especially the old man that stood upon the shore. Still the three Yozis lusted for the worship of men, and came on the third night of their sailing to a city's lights, and nearing the shore they found it a city of song, wherein all folks rejoiced. Then sat each Yozi on his galleon's prow, and leered with his eyes upon the city, so that the music stopped and the dancing ceased, and all looked out to see at the strange shapes of the Yozis beneath their silver sails. Then Snurg...
We'd like to thank you for listening to People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos. Our sponsor is BunnySlippers.com, your finest source of wonderful Cthulhu slippers and cool, cool shirts from FoundItemClothing.com, your favorite shirts from your favorite cult films, and also these fine folks.
demanded their worship, promising increase of joys and swearing by the light of his eyes that he would send little flames to leap over the grass, to pursue the enemies of that city and to chase them about the world. But the people answered that in that city men worshipped Agrodaun, the mountain standing alone, and might not worship other gods, even though they came in galleons with silver sails, sailing from over the sea. But Snyrg answered, "Certainly Agrodaun is only a mountain and in no manner a god." But the priests of Agrodaun sang answer from the shore, "If the sacrifice of men make not Agrodaun a god, nor blood still young on his rocks, nor the little fluttering prayers of 10,000 hearts, nor 2,000 years of worship and all the hopes of the people and the whole strength of our race, then there are no gods, and ye be common sailors sailing from over the sea." Then said the Yosis, "Hath Agrodaun answered prayer?" And the people heard the words that the Yosis said. Then went the priests of Agrodaun away from the shore and up the steep streets of the city, the people following, and over the moor beyond it to the foot of Agrodaun, and then said, "Agrodaun, if thou art not our god, go back and herd with yonder common hills, and put a cap of snow upon thy head, and crouch far off as they do beneath the sky. But if we have given thee divinity in 2,000 years, if our hopes are all about thee like a cloak, then stand and look upon thy worshippers from over our city forever." And there fell a hush over great Agrodaun. And the priests went back to the sea and said to the three Yosis, "New gods shall have our worship when Agrodaun grows weary of being our god, or when in some night time he shall stride away, leaving us naught to gaze at that is higher than our city." And the Yosis sailed away and cursed towards Agrodaun, but could not hurt him, for he was but a mountain. And the Yosis sailed along the coast till they came to a river running to the sea, and they sailed up the river till they came to a people at work, who furrowed the soil and sowed and strove against the forest. Then the Yosis called to the people as they worked in the fields, "Give us your worship and ye shall have many joys." But the people answered, "We may not worship you." Then answered Snyrg, "Ye also, have ye a god?" And the people answered, "We worship the years to come, and we set the world in order for their coming, as one layeth raiment on the road before the advent of a king. And when those years shall come, they shall accept the worship of a race they knew not, and their people shall make their sacrifice to the years that follow them, who in their turn shall minister to the end." Then answered Snyrg, "Gods that shall recompense you not, rather give us your prayers and have our pleasures, the pleasures that we shall give you. And when your gods shall come, let them be wroth, they cannot punish you." But the people continued to sacrifice their labor to their gods, the years to come, making the world a place for gods to dwell in. And the Yosis cursed those gods and sailed away. And Yah, the Lord of Malice, swore that when those years should come, they should see whether it were well for them to have snatched away the worship from three Yosis. And still the Yosis sailed, for they said, "It were better to be birds and have no air to fly in than to be gods, having neither prayers nor worship." But where sky met with ocean, the Yosis saw land again, and thither sailed. And there the Yosis saw men in strange old garments performing ancient rites in a land of many temples. And the Yosis called to the men as they performed their ancient rites, and said, "We be three gods well versed in the needs of men, to worship whom were to obtain instant joy." But the men said, "We have already gods." And Snyrg replied, "Ye too." The men answered, "For we worship the things that have been, and all the years that were, divinely have they helped us. Therefore we give them worship that is their due. And the Yozis answered the people, We be gods of the present, and return good things for worship. But the people answered, saying from the shore, Our gods have given us already the good things, and we return them the worship that is their due. And the Yozis set their faces to landward, and cursed all things that had been, and all the years that were, and sailed in their galleons away. A rocky shore in an inhuman land stood up against the sea. Thither the Yozis came and found no man, but out of the dark from inland towards evening came a herd of great baboons and chattered greatly when they saw the ships. Then spake Snurg to them, Have ye too a god? And the baboons spat. Then said the Yozis, We be seductive gods, having a particular remembrance for little prayers. But the baboons leered fiercely at the Yozis, and would have none of them for gods. One said that prayers hindered the eating of nuts. But Snurg leaned forward and whispered, and the baboons went down upon their knees, and clasped their hands as men clasp, and chattered prayer, and said to one another that these were the gods of old. And gave the Yozis their worship, for Snurg had whispered in their ears that if they would worship the Yozis, he would make them men. And the baboons arose from worshipping, smoother about the face and a little shorter in the arms, and went away and hid their bodies in clothing, and afterwards galloped away from the rocky shore and went and herded with men. And men could not discern what they were, for their bodies were bodies of men, though their souls were still the souls of beasts, and their worship went to the Yozis, spirits of ill. And the lords of malice, hatred, and madness sailed back to their island in the sea, and sat upon the shore as gods sit, with right hand uplifted. And at evening foul prayers from the baboons gathered about them and infested the rocks. But in Pagena, the gods awoke with a start.
The King That Was Not. The land of Runazar hath no king, nor ever had one, and this is the law of the land of Runazar, that seeing that it hath never had a king, it shall not have one for ever. Therefore in Runazar the priests hold sway, who tell the people that never in Runazar hath there been a king. Althazar, king of Runazar, and lord of all lands nearby, commanded for the closer knowledge of the gods that their images should be carven in Runazar, and in all lands nearby. And when Althazar's command, wafted abroad by trumpets, came tinkling in the ear of all the gods, right glad were they at the sound of it. Therefore men quarried marble from the earth, and sculptors busied themselves in Runazar, to obey the edict of the king. But the gods stood by starlight on the hills where the sculptors might see them, and draped the clouds about them, and put upon them their divinest air, that the sculptors might do justice to Pegana's gods. Then the gods strode back into Pegana, and the sculptors hammered and wrought. And there came a day when the master of sculptors took audience of the king, saying, Althazar, king of Runazar, high lord, moreover, of all the lands nearby, to whom be the gods benignant. Humbly have we completed the images of all such gods as were in thine edict named. Then the king commanded a great space to be cleared among the houses in his city, and there the images of all the gods were borne and set before the king, and there were assembled the master of sculptors and all his men, and before each stood a soldier bearing a pile of gold upon a jewelled tray, and behind each stood a soldier with a drawn sword pointing against their necks. And the king looked upon the images, and lo, they stood as gods with the clouds all draped about them, making the sign of the gods, but their bodies were those of men. And lo, their faces were very like the king's, and their beards were as the king's beard. And the king said, These be indeed Pegana's gods. And the soldiers that stood before the sculptors were caused to present to them the piles of gold, and the soldiers that stood behind the sculptors were caused to sheathe their swords. And the people shouted, "These be indeed Pegāna's gods, whose faces we are permitted to see by the will of Althazar the king, to whom be the gods benignant." And heralds were sent abroad through the cities of Runazar and of all the lands nearby, proclaiming of the images, "These be Pegāna's gods." But up in Pegāna the gods howled with wrath, and Mung leant forward to make the sign of Mung against Althazar the king. But the gods laid their hands upon his shoulder, saying, "Slay him not, for it is not enough that Althazar shall die, who hath made the faces of the gods to be like the faces of men, but he must not even have ever been." Then said the gods, "Spake we of Althazar, a king?" And the gods said, "Nay, we spake not." And the gods said, "Dreamt we of one Althazar?" And the gods said, "Nay, we dreamt not. But in the royal palace of Runazar, Althazar, passing suddenly out of the remembrance of the gods, became no longer a thing that was or had ever been. And by the throne of Althazar lay a robe, and near it lay a crown, and the priest of the gods entered his palace and made it a temple of the gods. And the people, coming to worship, said, 'Whose was this robe, and to what purpose is this crown?' And the priests answered, 'The gods have cast away the fragment of a garment, and lo, from the fingers of the gods hath slipped one little ring.' And the people said to the priests, 'Seeing that Runazar hath never had a king, therefore be ye our rulers, and make ye our laws in the sight of Pegāna's gods.'" End of The King That Was Not. The Cave of Kai. The pomp of crowning was ended, the rejoicing had died away, and Khanazar, the new king, sat in the seat of the kings of Averon to do his work upon the destinies of men. His uncle, Khanazar the Lone, had died, and he had come from a far castle to the south with a great procession to Ilaun, the citadel of Averon, and there they had crowned him king of Averon and of the mountains. And Lord, if there be aught beyond those mountains, of all such lands as are. But now the pomp of the crowning was gone away, and Khanazar sat afar off from his home, a very mighty king. Then the king grew weary of the destinies of Averon, and weary of the making of commands. So Khanazar sent heralds through all the cities, saying, "Hear! The will of the king, hear! The will of the king of Averon and of the mountains, and Lord, if there be aught beyond those mountains, of all such lands as are. Let there come together to Ilaun all such as have an art in secret matters. Hear!" And there gathered together in Ilaun the wise men of all the degrees of magic, even to the seventh, who had made spells before Khanazar the Lone. And they came before the new king in his palace, placing their hands upon his feet. Then said the king to the magicians, "I have a need." And they answered, "The earth touches the feet of the king in token of submission." But the king answered, "My need is not of the earth, but I would find certain of the hours that have been and sundry days that were." And all the wise folks were silent, till there spake out mournfully the wisest of them all, who made spells in the seventh degree, saying, "The days that were and the hours have winged their way to Mount Agdora's summit, and there, dipping, have passed away from sight, not ever to return, for haply they have not heard the king's command." Of these wise folks are many things chronicled. Moreover, it is set in the writing of the scribes how they had audience of King Khanazar, and of the words they spake, but of their further deeds there is no legend. But it is told how the king sent men to run and pass through all the cities, till they should find one that was wiser even than the magicians that had made spells before Khanazar the Lone. Far up the mountains that limit Averon, they found Siran the prophet among the goats, who was none of the degrees of magic, and who had cast no spells before the former king. Him they brought to Khanazar, and the king said unto him, I have a need. And Siran answered, Thou art a man? And the king said, Where lie the days that were, and certain hours? And Siran answered, These things lie in a cave afar from here, and over the cave stands sentinel one Kai. And this cave Kai hath guarded from the gods and men since ever the beginning was made. It may be that he shall let Khanazar pass by. Then the king gathered elephants and camels that carried burdens of gold, and trusty servants that carried precious gems, and gathered an army to go before him and an army to follow behind, and sent out horsemen to warn the dwellers of the plains that the king of Averon was afoot. And he bade Siran to lead to that place where the days of old lie hid and all forgotten hours. Across the plain and up Mount Agdora, and dipping behind its summit, went Khanazar the king and his two armies, who followed Siran. 8 times the purple tent with golden border had been pitched for the king of Averon, and 8 times it had been struck ere the king and the king's armies came to a dark cave in a valley dark, where Kai stood guard over the days that were. And the face of Kai was as a warrior that vanquisheth cities and burdeneth himself not with captives, and his form was as the forms of gods, but his eyes were the eyes of beasts, before whom came the king of Averon with elephants and camels bearing burdens of gold, and trusty servants carrying precious gems. Then said the king, Yonder, behold my gifts! Give back to me my yesterday with its waving banners, my yesterday with its music and blue sky and all its cheering crowds that made me king, the yesterday that sailed with gleaming wings over my Averon. And Kai answered, pointing to his cave, Thither, dishonest and forgot, thy yesterday slunk away, and who amid the dusty heap of the forgotten days shall grovel to find thy yesterday? Then answered the king of Averon and of the mountains, And Lord, if there be aught beyond them, of all such lands as are, I will go down on my knees in yon dark cave and search with my hands amid the dust, if so I may find my yesterday again and certain hours that are gone. And the king pointed to his piles of gold that stood where elephants were met together, and beyond them to the scornful camels. And Kai answered, The gods have offered me the gleaming worlds and all as far as the rim, and whatever lies beyond it as far as the gods may see, and thou comest to me with elephants and camels. Then said the king, Across the orchards of my home there hath passed 1 hour, whereof thou knowest well, and I pray to thee, who wilt take no gifts borne upon elephants or camels, to give me of thy mercy 1 second back, 1 grain of dust that clings to that hour in the heap that lies within thy cave. And at the word mercy Kai laughed, and the king turned his armies to the east. Therefore the armies returned to Averon, and the heralds before them cried, Here cometh Khanazar, king of Averon and of the mountains, and Lord, if there be aught beyond those mountains, of all such lands as are. And the king said to them, Say rather that here comes one greatly wearied, who, having accomplished naught, returneth from a quest forlorn. So the king came again to Averon. But it is told how there came into Ilaun one evening, as the sun was setting, a harper with a golden harp, desiring audience of the king. And it is told how men led him to Khanazar, who sat frowning alone upon his throne, to whom said the harper, I have a golden harp, and to its strings have clung like dust some seconds out of the forgotten hours and little happenings of the days that were. And Khanazar looked up, and the harper touched the strings, and the old forgotten things were stirring again, and there arose a sound of songs that had passed away and long since voices. Then when the harper saw that Khanazar looked not angrily upon him, his fingers tramped over the chords as the gods tramp down the sky, and out of the golden harp arose a haze of memories, and the king, leaning forward and staring before him, saw in the haze no more his palace walls, but saw a valley with a stream that wandered through it, and woods upon either hill, and an old castle standing lonely to the south. And the harper, seeing a strange look upon the face of Khanazar, said, "Is the king pleased who lords it over Averon and the mountains, and if there be aught beyond them, over all such lands as are?" And the king said, "Seeing that I am a child again in a valley to the south, how may I say what may be the will of the great king?" When the stars shone high over Ilaun, and still the king sat staring straight before him, all the courtiers drew away from the great palace, save one that stayed and kept one taper burning, and with them went the harper. And when the dawn came up through the silent archways into the marble palace, making the taper pale, the king still stared before him, and still he sat there when the stars shone again clearly and high above Ilaun. But on the second morning the king arose and sent for the harper and said to him, "I am king again, and thou that hast the skill to stay the hours and mayest bring again to men their forgotten days, thou shalt stand sentinel over my great tomorrow, and when I go forth to conquer Ziman Hor and make my armies mighty, thou shalt stand between that morrow and the cave of Kai, and haply some deed of mine and the battling of my armies shall cling to thy golden harp and not go down dishonoured into the cave. For my tomorrow, who with such resounding stride goes trampling through my dreams, is far too kingly to herd with forgotten days in the dust of things that were. But on some future day, when kings are dead and all their deeds forgotten, some harper of that time shall come, and from those golden strings awake those deeds that echo in my dreams, till my tomorrow shall stride forth among the lesser days, and tell the years that Khanazar was a king." And answered the harper, "I will stand sentinel over thy great tomorrow, and when thou goest forth to conquer Ziman Hor and make thine armies mighty, I will stand between thy morrow and the cave of Kai, till thy deeds and the battling of thine armies shall cling to my golden harp and not go down dishonoured into the cave, so that when kings are dead and all their deeds forgotten, the harpers of the future time shall awake from these golden cords those deeds of thine. This will I do." Men of those days that be skilled upon the harp tell still of Khanazar, how that he was king of Averon and of the mountains, and claimed lordship of certain lands beyond, and how he went with armies against Ziman Hor, and fought great battles, and in the last gained victory and was slain. But Kai, as he waited with his claws to gather in the last days of Khanazar, that they might loom enormous in his cave, still found them not, and only gathered in some meaner deeds, and the days and hours of lesser men, and was vexed by the shadow of a harper that stood between him and the world.
Thank you for listening to this episode of People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos. I have been your sound editor, D.B. Spitzer. Check us out at pgttcm.com, pgttcm.podbean.com, pgttcm.threadless.com. How about, I don't know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. We are People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos, and most social media, we're just PGTTCM. Thank you so much for listening, and join us again next week for some more Lord Dunsany. Unless this is episode reading 77, then hey, on to the next book.